This is AM 990 KWAM. And now, here's the Mary Beth Conley Show, a radio program that features discussions to help you expand your horizons, believe in your dreams, and live life large. Now, here's your host, Mary Beth Conley.
And hello, everybody, and happy Monday. Here we are with you again on a brand new week, and it looks like spring has finally sprung here in the Mid-South. So I hope wherever you're listening from, if it's up north, I hope you have a little bit of sunshine peeking in, and I hope spring is around the corner too, because tomorrow is a brand new month, and that means a brand new weather pattern. We can only hope, because winter has not been kind to any region of the nation. You're listening to the Mary Beth Conley Show on AM 990 and KWAM990.com, and it is that favorite day of the week. Cha-ching! We need a cash register sound, Bernadette, because it's Money Monday, brought to you by Radian Partners. Larry Tolbert, who is founder of Radian Partners, is always here with us, and today we're going to talk about EQ. What is it, and how can it help determine your level of success? Can you improve yours? Or if you aren't born with it, are you just stuck? We're going to get answers to all of those in just a second on Money Monday, brought to you by Radian Partners.
The opinions voiced in this program are not intended to give any specific financial, tax, or insurance advice or recommendations, as individual situations vary. For any specific advice, contact your attorney, accountant, or financial advisor prior to investing. Investing is subject to risk, including loss of principal. Past performance is not a guarantee of future results. No strategy can assure a profit nor protect against loss. Securities, insurance, and advisory services offered through FSC Securities, member FINRA/SIPC. Radian Partners is not affiliated with FSC Securities or registered as a broker-dealer. Radian Partners is located at 6060 Poplar Avenue, Memphis, Tennessee. The phone number is 901-202-3909. Any guest speakers that may participate in the show are not affiliated with Radian Partners nor affiliated with FSC Securities.
Pretty woman walking down the street, pretty woman.
And hello, everyone. Happy Money Monday. And if you're wondering, why are they playing Pretty Woman? Well, Larry is from now on, henceforth, after Black Sabbath last week, picking the music for Money Monday. And it's music that's appropriate to whatever guest we have. So Larry Tolbert, founder of Radian Partners.
I am in a studio full of beautiful women, so there seemed to be very appropriate that we start off with that.
And our guest, Judy Bell, who is an executive coach and a consultant and a specialist in the area of emotional intelligence. Judy, would you say that Larry just saying that is a perfect example of using emotional intelligence?
Larry does have the EQ going on.
EQ. When was it a term that first came into people's awareness? I won't say into vogue, because I think there's a whole lot of people who don't know what it is even today.
That's right. It is catching on. There's a lot more communication around emotional intelligence, EI, EQ. But Daniel Goleman actually is the one who, in the mid-90s, brought it to the forefront. And a lot of business professionals, consultants, behavioral analysts, scientists.
Which is what you are.
Which is what I do. You know, we started becoming aware of it, reading everything we could get our hands on. But just in the last, maybe 5 years, has it really come to the forefront as one of those skills that it's a success skill.
Yeah. You mentioned you'd worked in human resources for years and years and years, a variety of entities, and you could tell, you always wondered, what was the difference between person A and person B if they had the same skill set, but one seemed to surpass the other? Is that
right? I have the personality that likes to make sense of things. Mm-hmm. And as an HR manager, I was privy to, you know, resumes, performance reviews, day-to-day interactions with professionals and office staff. And there was no rhyme or reason to what made people successful. It wasn't education necessarily, and it was not, the hard skills.
In terms of competency and a particular skill set?
Right. And what I determined, I knew that there were certain people that were just almost destined to succeed. And I knew that there was something to that. You've got to have the technical competencies,
right.
Period. I mean, you know, that's got to be your base. But past that midpoint there was just something that set other people apart and put them on a fast track.
And you noticed it irrespective of industry, company, it was sort of across the board, correct?
Right.
So Daniel Goleman says, here's a quote for you, what really matters for success, character, happiness, and lifelong achievements is a definite set of emotional skills, your EQ, or emotional quotient, not just purely cognitive abilities that are measured by conventional IQ tests. And when you discovered Goleman's book for the first time that sort of put into clarity what you'd been feeling, was it sort of an aha moment for you?
It was. It was. And so now, after that point, I bought every book, read every blog post that he's written, and there are other authors now that have done a lot of good work with it. But what I tell people is your IQ is what you've been given. It's your gift. And your EQ is what you do with that gift. It just takes it to the next level. I do a lot with Harvey Duschendorf. We were interviewed 3 or 4 years ago.
Who is he?
He is in Canada. He's a writer. He does a lot of work on EQ. His book I use in my coaching practice. It's my Bible. You can tell when it's on my desk, it's dog-eared and it's got notes and things stuck in it, and I would be lost without it. But I use it with my coaching clients. His book is The Other Kind of Smart. And we met serendipitously. We were both interviewed for a national trade magazine on emotional intelligence in selling. And I think there were 4 or 5 of us that were interviewed for this article. And Harvey was one of them. And so then when the article came out, he Googled, you know, the other people who had been interviewed, and I was one of them. And a book showed up in the mail, you know, from Canada 2 or 3 weeks later. And now we're fast friends. We've not met, but we don't have to. We have the EQ thing between us, and we send each other articles and
is that part of EQ, that reaching out when you don't have to and saying, I bet this person would be interested in that, and so I'm going to send her my book?
We used to call that networking.
Yeah. Well, and you're right, Mary Beth, because one of the most important skills that high emotional intelligence brings is collaboration, and that replaces competitiveness. You know, people who are competitive typically keep everything to themselves, and they don't share knowledge, resources, that sort of thing.
Right.
And Larry asked me before the interview today, he said, Judy, do you think people collaborate more because maybe they're not as confident? And I said, absolutely not. People collaborate now because they are more confident.
Yeah, you can't. Aren't you more competitive if you're not confident because you're afraid somebody's going to get ahead of you?
Right.
Probably.
I think so. So collaboration, and that's exactly what Harvey did when he reached out to me, and he's made my life rich. I'd like to think that I've made his life richer because we share contacts and information.
Yeah. But one of the things Judy pointed out in our little pre-interview is there's a generational difference in emotional quotient or emotional intelligence. That entrepreneurs, because I had told her that we're doing this series on entrepreneurs.
Right.
And she said, you know, old generation entrepreneurs score differently than the new generation of entrepreneurs.
That's exactly right. In the past, entrepreneurs, and this is not a diss on entrepreneurs. They're very, we need our entrepreneurs. They have built America. But many times they didn't play well with others, and they didn't, you know, stay in the confines of a box that a lot of times corporate America asks for, compliance regulations.
Lone wolf?
They are lone wolves. Uh-huh. And so they, you know, they had a vision and they started it. And it's difficult sometimes to work with an entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. there's a younger generation of entrepreneur, Austin Baker. You and I talked about Austin. He is in that group.
Tell everybody what Austin does, because I know vaguely, but I wouldn't be able to articulate it. It would take me like 45 minutes probably, because what he does is, so to me, so technical, even though it's very simple. He provides a service to companies, basically what, getting their insurance needs,
covered.
Thank you. He all gets put them together in the most efficient way.
Right. And, insurance matters that each company is different. Each individual is different.
Right.
So he works that in, but he also has the consulting arm, which is where I come in. And we have we have business clients who either are very small companies and don't have an HR department, or they're middle to large companies. They have HR people, but they need someone to do heavy lifting or a special project. But Austin is of the generation, that whose mothers worked, and they're not the typical entrepreneur of my generation. He's collaborative. He's not competitive. He uses soft skills, and he's not afraid to use his soft skills.
So there's an environmental aspect to emotional intelligence.
Yes, there is. And most of it is in the home. The home is our first team. That's where we learn to get along with others. And it doesn't mean, though, that if you have lower emotional intelligence scores, or you came from a family that did not embrace collaboration and playing nice, it doesn't mean it can't be improved. But that's the basis, is your younger years up to maybe age 10 or 12.
Well, I also wonder if, because you mentioned he's of the generation, just using Austin as an example, he's of the generation where both parents worked. Does that tend to foster better collaboration among all parties in the household, because it takes everybody doing his or her part? It's not so top-down. I mean, decisions certainly are still top-down in a family unit with children. But in other words, if a child comes home from school, there might need to be something that he or she needs to do, fold the clothes or whatever, without being told, do it.
That's right.
Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. In fact, that, you've probably put it better than most people do. It does take a village now to run a home, and it takes a village, to run our communities.
So when you say, can you spot someone, like moments after meeting them? Let's say you're in a networking event and you meet, 10 or 12 new people. Can you spot the signs of high emotional intelligence pretty quickly?
I can.
What are some of them?
Warmth.
That's genuine.
Genuine warmth. Reaching out. It's not a gregarious person necessarily. It's a person who knows the audience, and not in a way that is tricky, but in a way that is genuine.
Sincere.
Sincerity.
Judy Bell, do you believe that you can tell a lot from how a person shakes your hand?
I do. Eye contact. Sure.
Yeah, there was a study recently that I read, and it said more than just a handshake. A lot of how people, their sincerity comes through in their handshake and how they shake your hand.
Is there more than one way to shake the hand? Other than, of course, the funeral directors, where you're taking the pulse.
To see if there's a new client waiting there or a new customer.
I think you showed me that, actually.
Well, yes. I think the people one of the things the study showed is that people that shake hands from at a distance tend to be a little bit more distanced. They're not really going to warm up to you real well. I won't say that they're not sincere. I don't want to go that far.
Right.
But it takes a while for that person to get to you. But a person that tends to pull you in close and shakes your hand closer without extending their arm, and maybe, uses the other hand.
Yeah.
And they're looking at you in the eye.
Yeah.
That's somebody that doesn't mind being close, and it is open, has opened themselves up to having you there.
Is that correct? Is that a sign of a good emotional intelligence?
It can be, and it can also be a good actor.
Somebody that was trained to do that.
Right. And what we say in our sales materials about emotional intelligence is that it's not selling someone or selling something. It's servicing a need. It's putting that other person first, whether it's in business or in a relationship, whether it's selling or whether it's, you know, technical service. It's knowing first. We've got a company that had project managers, which is highly technical, generally a PM.
Mm-hmm.
And their project managers were either very successful or not successful at all. And so I did some behavioral assessments. We used some instruments. And there was no rhyme or reason to the behavioral styles of any of these people. So I couldn't tie it together. So we ran an EQ assessment. We do have, you know, that capability for mm-hmm. these assessments. And bingo, that's what it was. All of their successful PM, their project managers, had high emotional intelligence. And that's that servant leadership.
Gotcha. Where they're truly interested in how I help you further your
right.
agenda, whether or not it immediately benefits me.
Right, that's right. And it's not, it's really trying to help determine what they truly need, not what you want to sell them or tell them. It's what do they need.
It's not your point of view. It's
that's
their point
right.
of view. So charming isn't necessarily
no,
the person.
Empathy. Empathy is the big word. It's, you know, walking in your shoes.
Okay. More in just a moment on emotional intelligence with Judy Bell. She is an executive coach. She is a business consultant. And I'm going to give you a website real quick to write down. I'll remind you of this further down in the program as well. HRO-partners.com. That's where you can find Judy Bell. And RadianPartners.net is where you can find Larry and all his marvelous colleagues. You're listening to Money Monday on the Mary Beth Conley Show, and we'll be right back. And welcome back to Money Monday on the Mary Beth Conley Show on AM 990 and KWAM990.com. Your music today, courtesy of Larry Tolbert. We have such calming music for our emotional intelligence discussion.
The great
Larry.
Barry White and that terrific bass baritone.
I love it. You can't get
calming and exciting at the same time.
Many emotional. Children conceived
yeah, I'll bet.
To Barry White.
I'll bet. I don't know how many millions of kids he's responsible for.
Yeah, that gives a whole different thought process to parental responsibility. He's thinking, no, you're not mine. All right. Larry Tolbert, of course, founder of Radian Partners at RadianPartners.net, and here by phone, if you prefer, 901-202-3909. I can attest to the fact that they actually do answer the phone. You will actually speak to a human being, which is very important and increasingly rare these days. Judy Bell, would you agree with that statement?
I agree.
You know, Judy, when you walk into a company, we were talking again before the interview that you can tell now. You've done this so long that you can tell where somebody is on this scale in how many minutes after meeting them?
Within seconds.
When you walk into a company, can you tell if that company is high on this or not?
Yes, I can. And we call that a collective EQ.
Emotional quotient.
Yes.
That's right.
So does that have to start at the top? So if the CEO is, he or she will probably filter it down, or it'll be part of the mission statement or not?
It should be. And if they're not, the CEO, as long as they're in another room and the others, and sometimes that's the way it works. You know, not everyone has an awareness of emotional intelligence or even an awareness of the need.
Mm-hmm.
And again, that older generation of entrepreneurs does not see that need.
Yeah.
So, but it is collective and it's contagious. Attitudes and emotions are contagious.
Are there physical attributes of a company that has, like, that would rate high on this? Because I would think that if you walk into a company and there are no barriers, no walls, and there's a high, that's going to show a lot of collaboration when everybody's out sort of in a main room. You walk into some of the high-tech firms, they don't have any walls. The president sits right out in you.
Right.
Right? They're not so much concerned about your title or what you do. They're just concerned that they need to get done what they get done. And then when you walk into companies that were started by the original entrepreneur generation, you see a lot of offices and walls and
not, and you don't hear a lot of laughter. You know, when I see the humor, and it needs to be healthy humor, but humor is a universal language as long as there's warmth and it's not a mean humor.
So that everybody feels an important part of the whole goal of the company.
Right.
That's an important. What other besides collaboration, why is it important? I mean, because there can be some people saying, well, I'm doing just fine. I am making a lot of money. I am happy. I am successful.
Why change?
I don't give a flip.
Well, and there are people like that. And as long as it works for them, you know, does it work for their family? Does it work for their health? Would their doctor say? Because emotional intelligence is not just about work. Of course, from my perspective, when I do coaching, it is the work. But emotional intelligence is your home life.
It's your happiness.
It's your happiness. It's your wellness.
So it's basically being able to plug. You mentioned empathy is the key word. It's being able to plug into the other person's needs, whether that's your wife, your husband, or
your
middle management or your customer. I can see where this could be kind of exhausting for an introvert because you're plugging into everybody and you really need to take care of yourself. You yourself are an introvert.
Right. I test just over the line as an introvert. But the main tenet of emotional intelligence is know thyself.
Okay.
It's self-management, self-regulation, and just knowing who you are and how you're put together, what makes you tick. And then once you know yourself, the second tenet of emotional intelligence is knowing and understanding others. And we've always heard you can't give away what you don't have. As in,
right.
You know, the airplane, you put your mask on first before you help others.
Right.
And the same is true with emotions. You must understand where you come from. What are your driving forces? You know, what trips your trigger for good or for bad? And then learning how to manage that. And it's just second nature for most people.
So if, let's give an example, if you are an introvert and you really get your energy by being alone and you're in a position, well, we're like you have a lot of clients, or like me where I spend all day talking to people, or Larry, certainly your customers or your clients, you spend a lot of
time. We spend a lot of time getting to know them.
Yeah.
And what makes them tick.
So if you spend, like if Larry has several appointments in a day, he may be all tapped out by the time he gets home. But if he's an introvert, so he needs to know, I need to take time for myself. It's not a selfish act to recharge my batteries before going to see the next client. Is that?
That's right. And we all do it in different ways. Years ago, I was a single mother and had little to very small children. And a very stressful, you know, executive job. And what I would do at the end of the day, the last 10 minutes, I would leave my physical four-walled office and I would go sit in the reception area. And I would talk to the other ladies in the office and we would talk about what we were going to cook for dinner. I needed to switch hats before I picked up two toddlers, you know, wanting to know what's for dinner. You know, they're hungry and tired. And so I had to know that I needed to switch corporate hat and put on mommy hat.
You had to take that initiative and do a very intentional transition.
Right.
The intentional pause. I think, you know, it's like a 20-minute nap. It doesn't have to be 20 minutes. It can be two or three. But an intentional pause between activities I have found to be very good.
Right. And like in your case, Larry, you've got a beautiful office, you know, penthouse almost looking and a beautiful skyline and view of the city. You could take the last 15 minutes of your day, turn the phone off, your email off, and just look outside.
Decompress.
Change hats before you go play the other Larry role.
Yeah, in interviewing some of the entrepreneurs that we've had on the show, they do that a lot. They have designed their intentional pauses, I've noticed. We didn't have time to talk about that on the show, but they're very intentional about their recharge time. And one of the skills that they've perfected is that they need very little recharge time. I don't know how they've done that, but they take these little mental naps, and it even between clients or between meetings, or if it's recharging on the way home. I think people that are into sleep, the analysis of sleep, will tell you to completely disconnect. Don't read before you try to go to sleep.
Right.
Disconnect that brain and let it go and do its thing and get rested.
Yeah, the electronics. There's a lot going on now with the electronics. If you have them in the bedroom right before bed, you know, you have trouble sleeping or sleeping soundly.
Then that stimulates you. And God forbid, don't sleep with the TV on.
Mm.
People will say, I need the noise.
Yeah, we've talked a lot about introverts. But what about extroverts and their emotional intelligence?
You know, if they've given it intention, any of us, if you give something intention, you can more easily accomplish it. An extrovert typically would have maybe average emotional intelligence.
Really?
Because they're not always. I mean, with intention, they can improve it. But they're more talking and less listening. And so listening is where that empathy comes in. And it doesn't mean you don't have low or high EQ on either spectrum, because you do.
But you may not be able to act on your emotional intelligence if you're always on. And
that's
if you're
right.
I interviewed last week a gentleman on top 10 ways to excel. And he took a picture of his office later and emailed it to me. And he has the acronym WAIT, WAIT, on his office, on his cube. And it stands for, why am I talking? To remind him to listen to really actively listen. And I thought, wow, do I need to copy that? We'll be right back, because I'm curious as well. We've talked about entrepreneurs and that type, but what if you're an employee? How can you use emotional intelligence to kind of set yourself apart in that office setting so that you can advance perhaps faster than the other guy or lady who has the same skills? Money Monday brought to you by Radian Partners at radianpartners.net and 901-202-3909. We're interviewing Judy Bell, who is a business consultant and executive coach, hro-partners.com. Her office number, 901-737-0123. We'll be right back. And welcome back to Money Monday. There we go. I can't say Larry picked that song. We play that one all the time because we love that song, because we love to talk about money. And we have today for you someone who can help you earn more. Or if you already have all of it you want, she can help you live a better, fuller life. Judy Bell is an executive coach, longtime human resources executive. And she works now on her own as a consultant and, as I said, an executive coach. And one of her specialties is the area of emotional intelligence. And it can make all the difference in your success or whether you're kind of flatlining in your career. Larry Tolbert, founder of Radian Partners, who is kind enough to bring us Money Monday every Monday and be here with me at radianpartners.net. You are, I think, someone who epitomizes emotional intelligence. Just in your, from the very first day I met you, I just felt like you were my friend.
Well, thank you.
Is that something you've had to work at, or does that just come naturally to you?
You know, I think it's both. It was part of how I was raised, you know, and I'm not scared to meet anybody. I like people. So I think it's both, but I can't say that I had that in my early career because I was all analytics in my early career.
Yeah, because you're also a math genius.
That's a
problem.
That's a real problem. I was taught not to have it. So I'm sort of a victim of my education.
You were taught not to have that emotions.
Yeah, because
matter.
In math, it's right or wrong. It's black or white.
Yeah.
And there's no, I don't need to feel if it's right or wrong. I need to show that it's right or
there's
wrong.
There's no shades.
There's no shades. So, but in what I do now, it is definitely a skill that I've had to to develop. And you know, Judy, one thing I've learned is that this is not a skill that you acquire and now you have it. It is a lifelong
undertaking.
It is.
Every day.
It
we
is.
Choose how we're going to interact with others, mm-hmm. interact with ourselves. Emotional intelligence, though, can be improved by as much as 40%.
Wow.
So if you grew up in a family and you didn't have that as a focus naturally, you can improve by up to 40%
yes.
with intention.
Now, somebody will say, though, what is this, just being nice to people? Because you can have the most gregarious person in the office, and they're never going to get out of the mail room, even if they have skills. It's what, about caring? Like, for instance, if I'm in a mid-level position and I want to advance, and I have colleagues who are equally accomplished, and they do the same job, how do I set myself apart without brown nosing to the boss? Because that's the
right.
other thing.
No, you don't.
Emotional mm-mm. intelligence is not brown nosing.
No,
right?
It's real.
Give me an example of how I could set myself apart on a continual basis without brown nosing and maybe get ahead of my colleagues.
A couple of ways to do that. First of all, it is to have the desire to improve. It's to be the go-to person. To be the person that truly cares that the doors are open when the customers want to walk in.
Okay.
You know, the responsibility, the accountability, you know, owning that accountability piece.
Even if you're a fast food worker, you can be that person who always has a smile, always has a clean uniform, is always right at the counter. What?
That's exactly right. All of those things. It's that work ethic, you know, the puritanical work ethic that we've always talked about in America, but it's got the warmth to it. It's the person that can be depended upon for not only just hard skills, but also those soft skills, the person that you would go to.
When I opened the practice, and I'll just use me as an example, when I opened the practice, I thought it was going to be about managing people's money. Now
yeah.
I understand that that's a part, and it may be even the smallest part. It may start off that way, but
it's trust.
It is trust. I was coming right to that. It's
trust.
Trust. Who do you trust? And how is it that Chick-fil-A finds all the best counter people in the country? Because when you go to Chick-fil-A, you trust that they're going to get your order right. They always seem to approach you, and you want to do business with them.
And it's the same. It's consistent.
And it's consistent. So
no matter which store location,
yes.
no matter what day, no matter what time of the day.
So is that because their philosophy attracts the right type of franchise owners who then let that flow down to the newest worker? Is that what it is?
Well, I know that they're locally a member of the Kindness Revolution, which is Ed Harrell.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I believe also, I don't know this for sure, but I suspect that they're doing some kind of top grading in their interview process.
What
yeah.
is
you
that?
Know, top grading is where you want to get A players. You know, you determine what skills you're looking for, both hard and soft, because you know the best customer service person in the world that can't run the cash register is not what Chick-fil-A needs. They need somebody that's balanced in both.
Right. You
it's
want somebody who's efficient.
It's Moneyball.
Right.
Getting the people that are the best in that position to play that position.
Right. Right. It is. And you can do that with your behavioral interviewing on the front end. Ask people how they've done in the past. You know, have you ever been in a situation where, you know, there was a competitive environment and people were taking advantage of the company and they were all, you know, working in their own silos. And if so, what did you do about it? And so you listen to their answers and you hire a certain, you know, that person with the smile in their voice that you can just hear.
Yeah.
And it's not just what they say. I have learned that active listening is not listening to just their words, but Judy, you touched on this before. It's their body language. It's how they're expressing the words they're telling you.
Right.
It's really listening to find out what's the emotion behind what they're saying.
That's right. It's an energy that you can really tap into. Now, I was working with a client, and still am, and the first phone call that I made to someone they wanted to hire, it was a potential new hire, high level. And when he returned the phone call, he didn't listen to my message, and he blew into me wanting to know who I was, who had just called his cell phone, and I was astonished that anyone would speak to an unknown person. They don't know who the person is on the other line. He had no idea that I was a consultant working on this hire. He never apologized once he realized what he had done. And I warned the company. I said, I've got to tell you, my first impression was not good. And then it just so happens this company uses the assessments. And the EQ assessment showed exactly that. And I met with them this morning before I came here. And he's very well, he's 2 weeks into the job. They love his technical experience. But what was the word? They said he has a quirk when it comes to people. And I said, well, that's a very nice way to put it.
I've heard that being defined as quirkiness.
Yeah, a quirk. Yeah. Look at this way, Judy. You'll have a client for a long time because they'll need some consulting work on how to bring
up. But all warnings.
Emotional intelligence. Judy knows how you are doing just at meeting you. So we'll give you some resources if you want to boost yours in just a moment. We'll be back on Money Monday, brought to you by Radian Partners. And welcome back to Money Monday on the Mary Beth Conley Show on AM 990 and KWAM990.com. Now you know why I say call Larry Tolbert. He makes finances fun because he actually let us play what we consider to be Larry's theme song. I'm just a love machine.
No, that has to do with Judy's point. Judy, go ahead and make that point.
Let me reintroduce.
What you said. It's not high EQ is not touchy feely. It's not that person.
Judy Bell, executive coach, hit that answer.
Okay, yes, and you're exactly right, Larry. Emotional intelligence is not touchy feely, goody two shoes, being a doormat. Being emotionally intelligent sometimes means having to set boundaries, having to have those tough conversations. That's emotional intelligence.
But knowing how to do it?
That's right. Knowing when and how and lining those things up. It's having an impulse control button. In other words, a filter. Absolutely, you must have a filter. And to have a filter, you've got to have more going on with the ears than with the mouth.
There's also a study about frontal lobe dementia. We hear that in the elderly. It's where we have lost our filter and stuff just comes out.
Yes.
Okay, that's a very good point. Our emotional intelligence, starts in childhood, most of it. The foundation is in childhood, up to preteens. And then we can intentionally set it with our life experiences, good or bad. But then, the old lady that wears purple?
Yes.
Right.
That is when we hit 70s or become senile or, starting that decline in our age and mental health, that's where emotional intelligence is shown to start the decline.
Because we're not as aware of what other people
might
expect.
And sometimes we don't care at that age.
How can we can take the assessment just through you, right? Because it seems like we are assessed on IQ all the time from school age on. But we could call you. Could anyone, or do they have to be a business person? Do they have to be?
No, anyone can take it. There's a cost associated with it.
Right, but it will tell you where you are on the scale and then can work with you in a few sessions to build up yours.
Right.
Right.
And these reports that we use can help the person. They'll take it with them, and it shows them in eight areas, not only the intra, but the interpersonal, and then the four quadrants within each. It'll show what you can do, to improve it.
Perfect. All right, let me give you that number again. 877-037-0123, area code 901. That's where you can reach Judy Bell. Also at hro-partners.com. And of course, as always, radianpartners.net or 901-202-3909. Thank you all.